of Inyanim tonight. So here we go. So number one. So last week we did the Piskei Tshuva, the first large Piskei Tshuva on Shin Vav. Right. The issue was that we discussed last week on top of in the Shulchan Aruch itself. Right. That the again, how does Bechorah work? So if a Jew gives birth, well, not a Jew, but the Jewish person's animal gives birth, kosher animal gives birth to a firstborn male that that does not have a mum, so it in theory needs to be given to the Kohen and offered as a korban, and then the Kohen gets to eat the rest of it. If it does have a mum, so in theory he's allowed to keep it and eat it himself. That would work. The only problem is that it's not so easy to guarantee putting a mum on it, and it's also unclear how you could declare a mum today. As we said last week, declaring something as a mum required a special smicha of yatir b'choros, and that seems to have been lost. Now, I notice in the Shulchan Aruch it does say that nowadays, where there is no opportunity to that we don't have any mumchim anymore, you have to bring it in front of a basin. So apparently, you put three people that have no idea what they're talking about together; they'll come up with the answer. Now, hopefully, they'll know a little bit about what they're talking about at that point. You'll find three people that know something about it. Maybe they officially don't have the smicha, but three of them together would then be able to come up with a psak. For that. Now, next thing we spoke about last week is that having this bechor, as nowadays, in the absence of the ability to bring it as a korban, keeping this bechor, this mumless bechor around, is actually a pretty big pain in the neck, right? Because you, especially if you live in a city someplace, right? Because you can't just let it go free. You can't just you can't shear it at all. Anything that is sheared from is considered to be hektish, and you can't work it. So there's very little that you can do with this animal. You sort of have to just wait around, waiting for it to get a mum. So apparently that led to a problem that so Yisrael has it. Yisrael keeps it for a couple of days, and at some point he goes to the Kohen. Here, you take this mum. You take this animal. To which most Kohanim would say, "I don't want this. What do I want to do with this firstborn sheep?" So that's what we discussed last week, and that was this tshuva from the Chavos Ya'ir. So the Shulchan Aruch itself says that if a Kohen protests and he doesn't want to take it, this is Sif Dalid, it's a big problem. Bizman hazeli tapel bo, to deal with it until it gets a mum. Ain't over shy. You can't. He can't reject it. The shenira kimavaze matanos kahuna, because it will appear that he is being mavaza the gifts to the kohen. The truth is, I'm not sure I've even called shenira. He is being mavaza the gifts to the kohanim. Right? He might have a good reason for not wanting it, but he doesn't. But he doesn't want it. So comes the Ramah and says, "Vafilu safik b'chor tzarech ha-kohen l'kablo miyad Yisrael." Now, even a safik b'chor, the kohen would have to accept from the Jew. Now, I pointed out last week that the safik b'chor thing is a bit of a challenge. It was in Hilchos Pidyon HaBen, so we didn't say we any safik that we always said the kohen is not entitled to the money. But all of a sudden here we say, well, safik b'chor you have to be careful about. So why is that? So here it is dealing on two planes. This I did. Looked around. We do that besides the question of the monetary question of whether it needs to be given to a Kohen, there's also the Kachim question about whether it's Kachim or not. So therefore, because of the concern that maybe it actually is Kachim, so therefore you have to say Safik Do'oraisa L'Chumra. Now, why we say Safik Do'oraisa L'Chumra by this, where it might be considered Kachim, as opposed to Safik Do'oraisa L'Chumra by Pidyon HaBen, where maybe you have a mitzvah Do'oraisa to do it, I'm not sure. I don't know what the answer is to that. But anyways, that seems to be understood, that this is considered to be a suffix d'oraisa that one needs to be machmir on. Maybe that's a mitzvah asay, this is potentially a mitzvah slos asay. I'm not sure. But anyways, so the Ramah here says that if it's a suffix, so then the Kohen should still receive it from the Jew that gives to him. The dafka, however, b'suffik shabam yatzma. It's only if it's an inherent suffik, meaning that there's some inherent reason why it's a suffik. Aval makom shepasha ha'Yisrael. But in a place where the Jew was negligent, kagon shekana parav choleves mina ubi kochavim, that he bought a a milking cow from the non-Jew, or he could have sold it to a non-Jew before it gives birth. Veloasa, he didn't do that. The Kohen in that case does not need to do it. I mean, it sounds like what the Ramah is saying here is that if it's the Jew's fault, so then the Kohen could just say, listen, I don't want it. It's going to be a real challenge for me. And you nincompoop, you didn't do things correctly, right? It's not we shouldn't be in the situation in the first place. Now,
what's the story with the milking cow?
So I'll get to the milking cow. This is glossed over it last week. I found what the milking cow is, what the issue is with the milking cow. That actually is what ties into today's daf.
Okay.
You saw the connection?
I don't remember. It's been already at least 7 hours since the
daf. Okay, we'll see. So, right, there was no mention of a cow that's milking in today's daf. Don't worry, but the principles are one of these. It's one of these major. It turns into one of these major shas sugyas. So, anyway, so the Ramah continues and says, "Vafilu makom shetzarech lekablo asur liyisrael litin lo." Even a place where he wants to take it, the Israel is not allowed to give it to him. Lak nito olinko mimenu, in order to take revenge on him. Meaning that's if the Jew has some kind of grudge against that guy, so if he's going and giving it to him and saying, ha, Cohen, you know, I get the last laugh. You might get the first aliyah every week and get to lead benching all the time, but have fun with this goat waiting for it to get a mum, right? So that's not in that case the Cohen is also permitted to reject it, presumably because he also is being mavaza the kachin there. Okay, so now what's going? So getting back into this Ramah, so the Ramah says again, if the Yisrael made a mistake, for example, he purchased a milking cow from a non-Jew. Or he could have sold this to a Ove Kochavim before it gave birth, right? And he didn't do so, so the Kohen should not have to receive it. So both of those would be negligence on behalf of the Yisrael. So first, let's take a look here at the second Piskei Tshuva. So the first Piskei Tshuva we did last week. Now, what's a little bit strange is that these are actually quoting the same tshuvas. Last week was we discussed this tshuva from the Chavos Yair. Reuven sold the cow to Shimon, and it happened to be pregnant, and he hadn't yet bought it yet. And there was a question about who was that, but and you know, so there was a kinyan derabbanan and a kinyan deraisa, and then it was a. And then there was a question as to who actually owned it. In which case, can you... So, therefore, is a shaila if you could force the Kohen to take it because it's a little bit of a... Because it's a question as to who actually owned it in the first place. So, the... So the Chavos Yair actually ends up concluding that, well, it's true that he may have made a mistake, and had this guy known what he was doing, he'd be able to resolve this issue. But there's a difference between poshea and shogeg. If it was an accident, it's an accident, and it's not going to be considered his fault. But it's only if he's negligent would it be considered to be his fault that he'd be able to keep it. And the Chavos Yair seems to be on the side here of saying, it's true, had he attended his Monday night Bechor Behemoth Tahora Shirim, he would have perhaps known a little bit better what to do. We can't necessarily blame him for not, and the truth is we can't even blame his rabbi for not really knowing the halachos either. That was all contained within the Chavos Yair. So in the second Piskei Tshuva, on the bottom here, it says, Ayin b'tshuvas chut hashani, simen chavav. So who wrote the tshuvas chut hashani? So it's a little hard to discover because there's a very prominent halacha sefer out called Chut Shani nowadays from Rav Nissen Karelitz, who's the Chazon Ish's nephew, who's a major posek who passed away a couple of years ago. Who's wrote it. So if you Google Chut Shani, so that's what's going to come up. You're not going to be able to find the answer. Mm-hmm. But the Tshuvas Chut Hashani was written by none other than the Chavos Yair, Rav Yair Bachrach. And I don't know what the difference is between the two. Meaning it is written by the same person. Why? And both are Shaila Shetshuvas Farm. Why he named one Chavos Yair and one Chut Hashani? I'm not really sure. Don't know, but you can discover. I do know one of Chava's friends named their son Yair because her husband was very enthralled with the Chavos Yair. So maybe he knows. I don't know. But at this point, I'm not sure what the difference is, especially, and what's interesting is that he seems to be commenting on if not the same case, a very similar case. So I also don't know why in Frankfurt they're dealing with all these firstborn animals that are being born, and maybe Chavos Yair, as the Rav of the town, should make well known to all of his congregants that if you have an animal that's about to give birth, make sure that you've taken care of all Bechoros considerations.
But in Germany, right?
He was Frankfurt, yeah.
We spoke last week that there was, the Jews owned the cattle industry in Germany.
Oh, okay, right. So it happened a lot. So he needs to prompt, right, right.
When would this have been?
He was earlier than the Noda Behuda. He was the Rav before.
So I don't know about it was that early. I mean, by the early 1800s, they were definitely. I saw books on there's a book that I saw at a Sotheby auction that was translating German to Yiddish on cattle terms that was done in the early 1800s.
Okay. Well, these industries don't develop overnight.
It was Yiddish to German, so the German merchants would know what the Jewish merchants were talking about.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, there you go. So the Chavos Yair has his case haruch baze. And the bottom line here, he says, "Va'achar shenasim v'nasim b'halacha kasav nimsa ata omer deladas mahariv v'vaday b'chor pshita." That this animal he should accept, the Kohen would need to accept. Al kopanim afim pusheya, even if he was negligent, but meshelo machru, that by not selling it, right, uvesafik b'chor. However, uvesafik b'chor, hicha demucha milsa sheposheya, but if it was a suffik before and it was clear that the person was negligent, kagon shahasrabo vitzaveyu shayimkor loovi kuchavim vahulo asakein. For example, he was warned and he was commanded that he should sell to a non-Jew and he didn't do it. So inami or shireinu shenischavin lahaktit bechai gavna pater milakablo. Or we see that he had kavana to go after the Kohen in this way, like to be a pain in the neck to the Kohen, then he would be pater to accept it. V'lo mucha milsa shepasha chayv l'kabel zehu das mariv. And if it's not so clear that it was a negligence, so then he would be chayv to bring it. So he seems to be imposing a double test here. He says, number one, it needs to be a real posheya, and number two, it would need to be... in order for a Kohen to reject it, it would need to be a real posheya, and it also needs to be a bit of a suffix. That's what he quotes from the Ma'ariv. Uldidinira, but according to me, it appears, she'ein lismoch al dvarav el benolad mipara choleves. Right? He says, but I wouldn't even be so mech on that. He comes out even more machmir. He said, or I don't know, machmir or mekel, depending on whether you're the Kohen or the farmer, but he's saying, and I think even the case of a suffix b'chor is not any type of suffix b'chor, only a specific type of suffix b'chor. What is that specific type of suffix b'chor? The case of the paracholevis, the milking cow. The milking cow, the motherly milking, the milk, I guess if you're milking a cow, that means the milk is coming out of the cow, right? The cow that is giving forth milk. That case. Why? So what should it indicate to us if a cow is giving off milk? That means that it probably had a baby before, right? Which means that any child that comes from a cow that is already milking, so in theory, we should have a pretty good feeling that that animal is not the b'chor. So he said, a lactating cow. Okay. The mitzad hadin petura mi b'chora. Because really, mitzad hadin, the animal should be pater mi b'chora, right? If an animal is milking, it should be exempt, lactating, it should be exempt from b'chor, because the next baby that comes after we know that it was lactating, that should be enough of a proof that this next baby is not the firstborn, right? But we have a minug to be machmir, ayin lekaman simen shin yidvav sif gimel, which we'll take a look at in a second. V'lachain, and therefore, kol shepasha misbatel haminug, kol sheposheya misbatel haminug, v'achumra, v'rashai hakoin shelo lekabla. So therefore, somebody who made the mistake is being mevatel the minug, v'achumra, and the chumra, v'rashai hakoin shelo lekabla. And the Kohen should really not, the Kohen would be correct in not receiving it. Aval b'shar safek chayv lekabel afilu muchach shepasha. But other types of safeks, that the kohen should accept it, even if the guy was negligent. So the guy was negligent, and it's a safek whether it's a real bechor or not. The kohen should take it, except for if it's the milking cow safek, right? Where he should be, where in that case he'd be able to say, "I don't want it." Right? Chachamechel benolad b'parach oleves afilu ilo mucha shapasha v'inu makabla lo hifsid. But even if you want to be mekel on the nolad parach oleves, right? Afilu, I'm not sure which way the kula is going, but afilu ilo muchach shapasha v'inu makabla lo hifsid. Ah, even if it's not clear that he was negligent on it, right? That's okay. I mean, he's willing to give the kohen a break on this lactating cow. Okay?
Is this the opinion of the Piskei Tshuva or someone else?
No, so this, I believe this is the Chutshani talking.
Oh, okay.
Okay, he seems to be the one being machmer on both and building upon the chumras. So, right, plus he continues on as well and points out that he thinks the Ramah is a tosofer. But let's also off and talk about the lactating cow for a second. So, what is going on here? So, in theory, right, should be right? An animal that is lactating probably gave birth before. So, what's going on there? So, this is actually the subject of the Gemara Maseches Bechoros. I should have maybe put this on the list here, on the sheet. But the Gemara Maseches Bechoros has a machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva as to what the status is of a lactating cow. If a person buys a cow that is already lactating, so do they have the right to assume that that cow is already had a baby? Meaning, all other things notwithstanding, right? You buy a lactating cow. I want to be any animal that comes afterwards, even if I don't have the records from an earlier birth, we could assume that if it was giving off milk, it had an earlier birth, and the next child is not going to be a bechor. So do we have the right to rely on that? So the Gemara in Maseches Bechoros seems to indicate, quotes that as a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua, and as a bit of a back and forth as to which one held which. But we generally paskit, the Gemara seems to come down at that Gemara as saying that Rabbi Yehoshua is A, the makel one, and B, we paskin like Rabbi Yehoshua, that you could be someich on the rove. Meaning, yes, it's true, the majority of cows that lactate already did have a baby. However, apparently, there is a miut of cows, a small percentage of cows, that at some point that maybe somehow started lactating, even without having a baby first. Now, whether or not this is scientifically possible or not, I'll leave that up to Sheldon to look into. But the Gemara, at least, is under the assumption that there is a small percentage, not apparently not that small, it's a miut hamatsui, a small percentage of cows that do lactate despite the fact that they have not had a baby yet. And therefore, do we have to be choshesh for that miut or not? So the Gemara seems to indicate that we don't need to be. However, the Gemara at first seems to indicate that we don't need to be. However, there is a Tosfos on that daf in Maseches Bechoros. This is daf, Chaf Beis, I think, the beginning of the second parak here. Yeah, the third parak here, the parak entitled Halukeach Behema. Somebody purchases a Behema. So there is a Tosfos there, however, that quotes Rabbeinu Tam as saying, the chalav eno poter, that it does not exempt, that just because it's milking, it does not exempt, because later on in the perek, we paskin, like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, the amar belokeach behema minika meove kochavim de petura min habachora, de lo merachma elim kain yalda. Aval mitam chalav luchoyra lo miftere. The Gemara there seems to talk about an afterbirth, and the Gemara there says that if the lactating cow had an afterbirth, well, sorry, it doesn't say that.
Where are we now?
No, I'm quoting from a Tosfos that I forgot to put on the page. There's a Tosfos in Maseches Bechoros, a very long Tosfos in Maseches Bechoros, Chaf Amud Beis, where he starts off by saying that Rabbeinu Tam said that you see from a later on Gemara that the Gemara itself was not somech simply on the fact that the animal was lactating in order to exempt it from Bechoros. So that is considered, that is known as the Chumra of Rabbeinu Tam.
The internet suggests that a cow does have to give birth in order to give milk.
Aha.
But again,
maybe the internet is only somech on the rove, and not choshesh lemiut.
Yeah.
maybe. So anyway, so that is the Shita Rabbeinu Tam. So if we go forward, I think it's the fourth page on your sources, right? There's from later on, a couple of pages down the road, in Shin Tes Zayin, Sif Gimel.
Right, bottom of that page.
Right, so Shin Tes Zayin Sif Gimel there on the bottom, right at the bottom of that page, it says V'chein behema shehi choleves petura meha b'chora, that if you have an animal that is choleves, that is nope. I see the problem here. This is not okay. Okay, if you have an animal that is not having a little power issue here. Oh no, this one is getting okay. Sure, what's going on? What the issue is? Take that out. Put this back in. Maybe that will be better. Okay, yeah, that's better. So, right, that if you, so, the he says v'chein behema. So here in Shin Tes Zayin Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch says a behema that is choleves petura me'abachora is exempt from bechora. Why? Sherov ha'behemos einon chovos elim kein yod. Right. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like the Gemara seems to imply, that most animals do not lactate unless it is given birth, and therefore you have the right to be, and therefore if you buy an animal that is already lactating, you don't have to be choshesh for any other animals that come along. However, comes the Ramah and says, V'yesh omrim de'ein somchen al mashehi cholemis, and there are those who say that we are not somich on the fact that it is lactating. V'chein pasku ha'achronim, that's what achronim paskin as well, you see a long list of people that he's quoting. V'chein noagin b'chol Medinos Elu. And that is the minhag in all of these countries, meaning that's the minhag amongst Ashkenazim. But then he gives a couple of kulas. If there's some other reason to be makel, so then you would have the right, meaning, for instance, he says that the Ovi Kochavim gives testimony about Messiah Lefitumo, meaning like an innocent statement by the non-Jew indicating that, here's the cow. One warning, when it gives birth, it really is in a bad mood for a couple weeks later, right? So as long as he doesn't realize what he's saying, so you can include the Messiah Lefitumo to combine innocent statement with the fact that it is lactating to assume that it had given birth before. Okay, that is the psax, and the Ramah seems to be pretty serious about this, right? The Ramah, right, and he says, that's our minhag here. That's pretty much the Ramah saying, like, I know it might be a little bit questionable lahalacha, but that's our minhag, and don't mess. Right? That's what he's doing. So
Yesh Omrim, it seems like Yesh Omrim means that's what we do. I mean, you would think, right? I mean, that seems to be, most of the time he says Yesh Omrim, that's the way he's going.
Yes. Yes, and certainly when he adds in v'chein noagin b'chol medino se'elu, right? That is for sure. That becomes a very strong statement from the Ramah that we take very seriously. You know, that already means he's clearing his throat and being like, I give you enough kulas. This one you're gonna suffer under. So the Gra on the bottom, and you see there's a long shach here, and it's a long taz and everything. So they get into, this is where the connection to today's daf is. So if you see the Gra in Hay, so he quotes a whole bunch of Mari Makomos. And then two lines from the bottom, it says Likut. I'm not sure what that means, Likut, whether who added that. Is that added at some point? I don't know. But he says Vaklal hu lefizeh. Mean what? He says lefizeh after ein choshishin lemiut k'Rabbi Meir. He says what's going on? Or why all of a sudden here is Rabbeinu Tam being choshesh for the miut? Meaning we generally are not choshesh lemiut. All right. Why all of a sudden here is Rabbeinu Tam being machmir? And the truth is, well, you'll say it's just Rabbeinu Tam's read in the Gemara. So okay, fine. So why is the Gemara all of a sudden being choshesh lemiut? I mean, why are we not? Why do we not? The internet says that animals don't that cows don't lactate without having given birth first. So why are we choshesh for the one exception that Google didn't pick up on? So he says after in choshesh lemiut, like Rabbi Meir does in the beginning of Chulin, Rabbi Meir hechi etc. Mikol makom hecha deika chazaka bahada. He says, because here there is also a chazaka, then we are going to be choshesh for the miyat. What does that mean? There's a chazaka. So the chazaka is that if you look at a plain animal, what's the story? Do I look at that animal and say, that I assume it's probably given birth before, or I don't know if it's given birth, or I say it probably is not given birth before. So besides what we want to, besides looking at any other features about milking or not milking or things like that, right, you could also look at the animal at some point in its life had never given birth. We know for sure that this animal at some point in its life had never given birth in its life, right? So the first couple of weeks or months or whatever until it becomes old enough. So that means it has a chazaka that it of not having given birth. So even though you have a rove saying that it has given birth, because after all it is lactating, it has a so we are choshe, and we don't generally, we're not generally concerned for a miut, for a small possibility. When there is a chazaka that it had at some point had not yet given birth, so then we become choshesh. So then we become concerned. So that is the Gra explaining this chumra of the Rama. Then he adds in v'dafka l'chumra aval l'kula lo. He says, "But only be l'chumra, but not l'kula." Right? Daha rabbanon pligia led the Rabbi Meir bahi the kedushin daf peyamid aleph. Because we see that the rabbanon argue on Rabbi Meir in that gemara in kedushin. Why? Berov tinokos metapkin, where most babies are playing around with the dough. Umiyot deloshchiach aflahachmir ein mitzarif. What is he talking about here? Right, Sheldon? So now ringing a bell a little bit. Right. So
yeah, what? Has to do with making the zoim pure.
Yeah. So to jog your memory. So on the last page, I put a copy of today's daf in Maseches Kedushin. Good chazara. This is where we finished off this morning. So on daf Pei Amud Aleph, the Gemara here is also having a discussion about Rov and Miut and Chazakos and how the two play together. So it says Vavinim ba my time at Rabbi Meir. So about, I don't know, about 15-20 lines from the bottom, right, where it says Tosus Shadarcho. So a couple lines below that. Actually, right next to Tosos Shadarko. So it says Va'azel Tamayu. Why? Disnan. Tinuk Shenimsa Betzada Isa. So there's a Gemara. This Mishnah shows up various places. Taros Mishnah and Taros. A tinuk that is found on the side of a piece of dough. Ubetzak biyado, and it's got a piece of that dough in his hands. So Rabbi Meir mitaher v'chachamim mitamin v'shadarko shel tinuk l'tapeach. He says Rabbi Meir says that it would be tahor. And the Chachamim say that you have to assume that it's Tamei, because children will play around with things. So why does Rabbi Meir assume Tahor? I mean, what's going on here? So Avinamba, so my time is Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is usually understood to be the Machmir one in these types of things. So why all of a sudden here is he being Mekel? So Kasavar, because he says, Rov Tinokos Metabchin, Umiyut Ein Metabchin. He says, because most children play around with dead insects and become Tamei, and some of them don't. The Isa, but the Isa is Becheskas Taras Omedas, right? The Isa was, at some point, it was Tahor. V'samuch Miyuta L'Chazaka. And therefore you take the Miyut and put it together with the Chazaka, and you have a Rov. And the Rabbanan say, no. Miyuta Keman D'Leisadami. That the Miyut is as if it doesn't exist. And Ruva V'Chazaka, Ruva Adif. And when you have a Rov and Chazaka, so you pass like the Rov over the Chazaka. So the Gra here turns around and says, okay, so now I'll explain to you Rabbeinu Tam. I mean, this Gemara is actually a raya against us, because we paskin like the Chachamim in this case. And according to the Chachamim would say, no, you have a Rov, the Miut doesn't count, I don't care what the Chazaka is, because Rov beats out a Chazaka. I mean, the only way a Chazaka could be meaningful is if it needs, right, the idea of a Rov beats out a Chazaka. The only way a Chazaka might win is if it has a Miut to hold on to. So the rabbis say, the rabbanans say, when you have a rov, the miut doesn't exist. And therefore, it's a rov against a miut, against a chazaka. But according to Rabbi Meir says no. He's going to he holds that the miut does exist, and the miut combined with the chazaka would win out. So comes the Gra here and says, aha. So in the kedushin, there Rabbi Meir is producing that would be a Chumra, meaning there, one second, how do I say it again? Ika chazaka vayda chashina dahi dekan v'dafka l'chumra aval l'kula lo. He says, l'chumra, we're going to be choshesh for the miut, for the chazaka here, together with the miut, meaning the case where the animal has a chazaka, but we wouldn't do it l'kula. right? Because we see the Rabbanan argue on Rabbi Meir in Kedushin, where Rabbi Meir ends up, where the Chum are Lakula, and Rabbi Meir is Lchumra. But we're not going to Paskin like Rabbi Meir over there, we're only going to Paskin like Rabbi Meir over here. Right, that period. Meaning here, we're choshesh for the chazaka l'chumra, but not l'kula. As we see, the Rabbanan arguing Rabbi Meir over there, barov tinokus metachin umiut, delo shchiach af lahachmir in mitzdarif. One second. Why are we saying this is different? The Rabbanan come out over here as saying, Tamei. Right. Over there, the Rabbanan end up saying, the Rabbanan end up saying Tamei over there. So the Rabbanan are going to be Machmir in that case, but in this case, where there's the Chazaka, we will hold of that L'chumra. Okay, that is what the Gra is saying. He continues on and says, similarly, you point out, by Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shchita Mumchen, that most people who shecht are considered to be experts in Shchita. V'afagav de behema b'chaya b'cheskas isero medes, levad be'eshes ish, de macharin l'chadchila, kamo b'mayim, she'ef shalom ar sof umsavle v'hadar mekadshe tosu sham, etc. That Eitzel Shchita Mumchen, v'afagav, even by the behema b'chayeha b'cheskas isero medes, that the behema remains b'cheskas iser, still, except for in the case of an Eishes Ish, meaning the same thing you would say with an animal, meaning with an animal that was shechted, so we have an assumption that most of the people that attempt to do Shechita know what they're doing. But wait a second, the animal has a Cheskas Iser, so therefore we should be Chosheish for Lemiut.
Why does
that have a Because at some time it was alive. When it was alive, you weren't allowed to eat it.
Oh.
Except for Ishiz, we were Machmir. So why here are we being Makil and... I'm not sure what the din is. Meaning, Rov Mitzuyin Eitzel Shechita Ar Mumchen, well, I don't think we rely on that. I guess we're saying that it remains Becheskas Isser because that way it's L'chumra. And by Ishas Ish, we're always going to be Machmer, because Ishas Ish, by Hilchus Ishas, we're always going to be Machmer. Now, then he points out at the bottom here, this Gra that I underlined at the bottom, skip the next section, but I underlined it over there. He says, V'nei miut d'shchiach. He says, this whole thing is by a miut she'inu matzoi, right? A small level miut. But if it's a miut that is often found, right, this is the whole bug checking issue or the whole trefa issue, he said, then we have to check, right? Tova chayshinam. Then everybody assumes that we're choshesh, like the reasons that we check the lungs, even though there's no chazaka against it, even though there is a chazaka against it, like by the Reya, still we're going to be machmir in the case of a miut hamatzah. Okay, so that is the grus. That gives us the Cholevis picture. So what is it? So back to our case over here. So what's the Chutshani in the Piskei Tshuva? What's he complaining about when it comes to the animal that is being milked? So there he says, because really Meikra didn't, we paskin like the, we probably do paskin against Tosos, right? And it's just, we are machmir like the Ramah. Right, but still, that for sure, that's even like, and that's not really a real suffix. That's somewhat of a different type of suffix. So therefore, in that case, one would have the right to be makil because it's really like a minhug that we're following Rabbeinu Tam. But in other types of cases, then one would be machmir on the kohen and say that the kohen needs to take it. One more point in this Piskei Tshuva. And that is, if we continue on a little bit, back to the Piskei Tshuva, which is, I guess, page 2 of what we copied here. He says, Uvedivrei Ramah yesh tosofer. He says, by the way, the Ramah probably has a misprint. Because Mashe Kasev, when it wrote, Shekana paracholeves mina ovde ove kochavim o shehaya. Meaning, how do you understand the Ramah? The Ramah said, and this is the previous page, he says, B'makom shepasha Yisrael kagon, where the Yisrael made the mistake. For example, he bought a parachol leves from a non-Jew, Oshahayo yachol limkor habachor, or he could have sold it. So what do you mean he bought the lactating cow? The lactating, because that's the mistake that the Rama made. Is that what he's specifically pointing to? So continues the Piskei Tshuva and says, Oshahaya v'tzarech lomar min ha'obed kochavim v'haya yachol limkor. Meaning instead of saying shekana paruchu leves min ha'obed kochavim oshahaya, he says no min ha'obed kochavim v'haya yachol limkor. Right, and he could have sold it. Right, because remember the chutzani is being very machmir and saying that the kohen needs to take it unless there's some crazy case that he didn't. So he says in the case of the where he bought a choleves and he could have sold it. So if you put the two of them together, says the Chutshani, that's where maybe I'll be makil and allow the Kohen to reject it. But anything less than that, I'm going to say that the Kohen needs to take it. For us, Lomer de'ikapshia de'muchach v'ze ola mamish k'mush chasafti ad kanvarav ayin sham v'ayin besif katan akodem asher kastu b'shem tshuvas chavos yair, who was written in the name of the chavos yair. Now, just the last section here, he says, V'ayim b'tshuva chsam sofer, that he also talks about this, the chsam sofer is later. Remember, the chsam sofer also was not in the original Piskei Tshuvas, he was in the second edition. V'daitu l'hachriya devadei kol shepashu abaylim lo asu tatziki l'miftari m'bachorim m'chuyavim m'knaster abonet shegarmu l'hachshel b'kachim afi kol makam lo m'ifnei ze yiftar hakoim mil kablanu. He said, it sounds like what's going on here is that he made a mistake. He's sort of obligated based on a knas, because he made the mistake to keep it. But he says, that's not really the reason. He should still force the Kohen to do the mitzvah. But what we're aiming to do is that if the Baal Bayis, the farmer, makes mistakes, we sort of want to make an example out of him and make sure everybody realizes that, no, we really should avoid having all these kachim running around. We call makom isur the oven, but yet the kohen still might be doing an isur by rejecting it. So therefore, what the Chsam Sofer recommends is a compromise, like, yeah, we'll give it to the kohen to take care of, but the farmer who made the mistake, he should fork over some of the money to be able to care for this animal, because it really is going to be a pain in the neck for the kohen. So we sort of still want to be able to make an example out of this farmer that made the mistake, but the Chsam Sofer is still on the side of saying that the kohen should go ahead and take it. So while the Rama seems to be pretty broad in who in the exemptions on the Kohen accepting this animal, seems like the later poskim try to tighten the screws a little bit and say no, the Kohen really should take it in more cases than not, while still maybe making an example of the farmer. Perhaps that might be due to their fears about if we really force it to stay in the hands of the farmer, then who knows what's going to happen to these animals. So give it to a Kohen might have a better idea as to what to do with it. So, okay, the truth is I had more to talk about. There's actually one of the big leap year sugyas is the next little section here, but maybe we'll save that for next week. Alright?
Taking care of the animal, you have to, for example, protect it from wild animals, I guess, maybe required to do that?
Yeah, I assume so.
I would just let the animal loose and the dogs kill it.
Well, you can't let it loose because then the animal is going to go get away. Now, do you have to be? How concerned do you have to be of a wild animal coming at it? I don't know. I think that's one of the other simanim here about how much do you need to. Did a v'chor shenishva? Is it din hachashud limkor v'chor? Who's believed? I don't know. There's all sorts of stuff here. Halkei Fahima, you know, you don't know.
If wolves eat it, you're out of the game's over.
then there's miscellaneous at the end. Tin Chatuch Ever HaBechor, and other dinim of Bechor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's what to speak about here. And big Piskei Tshuva. Sorry, this is a very lemaisa, at least for the farmers amongst us. All right. Good evening.
Have a go.